Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray and Brad Williams for the About Last Night podcast. Today's guest, comedian, impressionist, international
man who can challenge you for best hair in the room.
That should be on his resume. And
absolutely,
it probably is. Justin Ruppel is our guest. And not only is he a good pal and a great comic and an exceptional impressionist,
yeah,
but he's a big fan of this fucking show.
He is. He is an Uber driver who listens.
You're setting up like the dating game intro, like, meet Gary. He's an Uber driver with a heart of gold.
Oh, yeah. On the weekends, he likes to polish his Ken Griffey Jr. figurines. Meet Gary, everybody.
That might be true about Justin, because he is from Seattle, where I'm from. We're both diehard Seattle sports fans. But Justin has, I've known him for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Always been a good dude. And once he expressed how much he loved the podcast, I was like, you know what? Enough's enough, man. Yeah. Come on. Like,
why
shouldn't you be on?
Well, and here's the thing is, we get tweets all the time from you guys, which, by the way, thank you for those. And one of the things you say is that you love the podcast where it's just me and Adam because it's just friends hanging out. If you like those podcasts, if those are your favorite, you're going to love this one. Because
Justin's a great hanger-outer.
A great hanger-outer. That was also his role in one of the porn films he did. He was an excellent hanger-outer. That's what he does.
You've had better.
I've had better. You know what?
I've had better Brad punchlines.
I've had better. That's exactly what my ex-girlfriend told me.
Yeah. You, by the way, have been crushing it lately on Facebook. I told you this last week. Your Facebook posts. Remind me of two that were some of my favorites, will you? Can you pull them up real quick?
Yeah, I'll pull them
up. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy.
Wow, you did a little rap job right there. The record was skipping.
Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad at Funny Brad. All my tour dates at AdamRayTV.com. Coming up, I'm going to be where? I'm going to be in Indiana at the Laugh House, Kokomo, Indiana, August 7th through the 9th. Marietta, California, I'll be at Aces August 15th and 16th. And then, of course, the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, and Improv three, four times a week. All those dates are at my website, AdamRayTV.com. And, of course, get my album, Pop-Tart Suicide, on the website as well. Brad Williams will be at BradWilliamsComedy.com for all his tour dates.
Yeah, which are Tempe, Arizona. That's right, Phoenix area, I'm coming to you. I'm going to be at the Improv August 7th through the 10th. I'm going to be in Phoenix in August because my management wants to kill me. Dallas, Texas, I'm going to be at Hyenas August 14th, 15th, and 16th. And then I'm coming to Seattle, baby. Yeah. Going to the hometown of Mr. Adam Ray.
And possibly a surprise drop-in from me. I'm still trying to work out if I can get up there. So possibly I will be there with Brad for those shows. And,
at the Parlor Live, and this is August 21st through the 23rd.
I know, so I'm at least going to be there so that we can get my mom on the podcast, which is going to happen, and possibly my nieces, which would be incredible, actually.
I want to talk to all these people. I want to know what made you.
My sister's okay with that.
Yeah, so, some of the tweets you've been loving of mine have been... bacon doesn't have that many vitamins, so it's important you eat a lot of it. Watching giraffes have sex is the most disturbing thing I've seen 132 times today. what was the other one you like? Oh, yeah. This is Fight Club in 2014. Rule number 3 of Fight Club, you do not bring peanut or peanut-related products to Fight Club.
Yeah.
So there you
go. Hilarious. Follow Brad on Facebook because he's always... it's like you wake up early. So you're like, you're updating. I'll wake up randomly at 7 a.m. And see you already posting a joke. And I'm like, Jesus, man, that's like the equivalent of if Facebook was around when Bird woke up early to shoot free throws before practice.
That's what I try to do.
You are the Larry Bird of comedy.
I am the Larry Bird of comedy. In that I'm white, I have a bad back, and people confuse me for a leprechaun.
And you love Star Wars, which is why you need to look at that bag in front of you and on air open the gift I got you when I was in San Fran this past weekend.
What?
From the Lucasfilm place.
What? Oh, my. Ah!
What is it?
Adam Ray.
What does that look like?
Just got me a Yoda club head for either a golf club or my penis. I'll probably put it on my penis.
Hopefully your penis, man.
Yeah,
a penis warmer?
Impressive. A penis warmer.
A Yoda penis.
You know what?
Warm your penis will be.
Listen, Allen Iverson had
penis
that sleeve warmer.
Will.
Yeah. Allen Iverson had that sleeve warmer, and that, like, started everyone on the, like, oh, all the basketball players got to wear these sleeve warmers. And now, like, fucking Dwight Howard has two of them. Like, yeah. It matters. So I'm going to start the penis warmer trend because it's like, yeah, my penis has got to be.
Commercial.
Okay. Everyone.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover.
That is Danny Glover, and this is Michael Caine.
Man, sometimes my dick gets cold.
Sometimes my dick wants to swell up to the size of a tangerine.
Whether you want to keep it warm or just need more space to put it in something comfy, pick yourself up a Star Wars penis warmer.
We have different versions. We have the Yoda, we have Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Princess Leia, so we will already give you a boner before you even put it on.
Your cane, by the way, was going to Statham and Yosemite Sam in the same.
It's going to taste the same. I mean, the penis warm, but I put it on the donkey punch.
Hilarious. Statham's not coming on the podcast.
Damn it.
Now you said that he donkey punches people.
He was totally booked next week, too.
Well, enjoy the warmer. Enjoy it for your golf game. Enjoy it for your penis. Follow us on Twitter. Go to the website. Go to iTunes. Download, subscribe, rate the podcast. Continue to listen. We got so many great episodes coming up.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we got a great episode right here. A very special episode of the About Last Night podcast.
Justin Ripple. Justin Ripple?
There it is.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Yeah, and suck in.
Press the button and suck
tastes
in.
Tastes great. Doesn't smell. That's the best part.
You're like a commercial for this pen.
Doesn't smell, tastes great. Get you high.
It most certainly does. Yeah.
Your mind.
Yeah.
And an afternoon.
I didn't tell.
There should be commercials for pot, though.
Oh, there like, will be.
There will be.
You know there will be.
But I mean, the same way that there's not. We're already going. If Peter Griffin did a commercial for weed, what would it sound like?
Oh my God! All right, Peter Griffin here. Do you have nothing happening in your life? Or are you not getting laid at all? Have you ever thought, wow, porn would be a lot better if I really felt like I was there? Well, try marijuana. You don't feel like you're actually doing something when you're doing nothing.
That's actually a great tagline for it.
Yeah, you feel like you're doing
something. You're accomplishing something when you're not.
Yeah.
I just did Getting Dug with High.
Wow,
that was an experience. Yeah, Brad.
Oh, yeah.
Brad
oh,
was because yeah. Brad's two beer Brad. You know
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm one beer Justin. If
that's
I have
right.
yeah, if I have any alcohol, I'm in
and
trouble.
And together,
oh, really?
You are three beer pussies.
Yes, the three beer pussies. The least known members of the Super Friends. The three beer pussies. They were fighting with the Wonder Twins for the gayest characters in comic book history.
Known for falling asleep right in the middle of the action.
Hey guys, we're here.
Is there like a tsunami or
what happened, man?
Okay, there's not cool. I'm gonna hit that 7-Eleven real quick.
That's right. And off to the 7-Eleven go the three beer pussies.
By the way,
hey, do you have any money?
yeah, always borrowing money.
Hey, Batman, you're Bruce Wayne millionaire.
He's like, shh.
I wasn't supposed to say.
I was supposed to think that, not say it. The Stone Super Friends? Why hasn't that been like a comic that's ever...
I don't think Aquaman actually had a power. He was just stone, and he's like, I could talk to fish.
He never actually got in the ocean. It was just an aquarium he had at his house.
Just there.
What a great reveal to pull back and see that that's what's been happening.
It's just in his head.
Every adventure, he gets high, he walks to the aquarium, he puts his hands up on the thing, and he just stares.
He just stares.
And he sees
like,
this entire world.
That angelfish is talking to me, man.
I got to go save its family. Kuwait.
We cut back, and it's just his friend. His super friends have gathered, and he's like in a mental asylum, and they're just
hilarious.
Like, listen, look what happened.
That's a great sketch.
He used to be an Olympic swimmer. Now he's just...
He just smoked a lot of weed.
Do you think he could talk to fish.
Do you think that's the same case with Captain Planet and the Planeteers?
Oh, Captain Planet was like Tyler Durden, like the entire time, like he actually wasn't there.
It was just a bunch of nerds that actually had one shared, that like they're on the playground one day and they're like, hey, you know, sometimes I talk to a guy who tells me to recycle. Me too.
Yeah.
Is he called Captain Planet?
Wait, now can you name all
Schizophrenics unite?
can you name all the Planeteers?
Only by their powers.
Yeah. Let's see. There's wind, water.
Water.
Fire.
Fire.
Earth.
Earth.
Heart.
Heart.
Pussy.
Heart's the one I never
Vagina.
Understood. Yeah. Here's why heart makes no sense. Because it's like... You have all these guys who are going to help stop natural disasters.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, Earth, wind. And they also, even the way they say it, it's like they know how dope their powers are.
Yeah.
Like, Earth, fire, wind, water. And then the little fucking Pakistani kid in the corner strolls up on a razor scooter like, heart. It's like, no, motherfucker. We're trying to stop an earthquake, not reconcile somebody's marriage.
No, you don't understand. Listen, if we make our enemies feel empathy, they will lay down arms.
If we can try to reason with the tsunami and make him see his ways are wrong and that he should not take out a tiny village.
So basically his power is the same as Puss from Puss in Boots. He just like walks up and looks cute.
Looks adorable.
And just like...
Heart! Everybody's heart, just looking at him. They're distracted.
Hello.
Fire sets him on fire. Like, thanks a lot, Heart. Not a problem.
Yeah. Getting hot in there. I should probably take off this vest.
This has been Gay Pakistani Boys with Adam Ray.
He's trying to pollute the ocean, but maybe we just make him feel really bad about it.
Make him feel really bad.
He's the first one who goes in.
Yeah.
Like, if Heart doesn't take care of it, like, well, now we're going to have to kick his ass.
Yeah, I mean, now we just throw a fireball or a giant landmass is going to fall on him or a tsunami is going to take
him out. Everything else is cool.
Yeah.
Except for
Heart. Yeah. Pretty much, he goes to a support group with him and Jubilee from the X-Men. We have the most pointless powers ever.
Jubilee. See, this is why I was this is why I got fired as Wolverine. I did not know that was even a character.
Who the fuck is Jubilee?
When they asked me
about Jubilee,
I thought that was an ice cream flavor. I thought it was some weird midget shit you were trying to bring up. Like, Jubilee is like a ride you guys get to ride at the only dwarf park. Like, Jubilee is the big roller coaster.
Yeah.
Have you been on Jubilee?
Yeah. It's a high requirement, must be under 44 inches. Yeah. And you're fine.
Dude,
you can ride it.
Do you know in my Wolverine audition, they asked me who my friends were?
And they go,
who are your friends? And I was like, oh, first of all, I walked in this like tight black muscle tee, and I walked in like all season. Yeah. They're like, so who are you? What are your powers? I was like, oh, you know, I can jump really high, and I can fucking punch hard.
Did you say fucking?
Probably. I can fuck. And then they're like, who are your friends? I was like, oh, you know, Eric and Phil.
Sarah.
And they're like, what about Storm? I'm like, yeah, she's great. Like, I didn't know shit.
Which is cool. By the way, I love how they're taking it so seriously when really all that information could be, you can get that in 3 minutes from a Wikipedia page.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
they want to know that if the kids, and they did, these nerdy kids who would like ask every question in the book Marvel related that I had no clue about.
What's the only substance that can melt adamantium?
See, now you just gave me a panic attack because I don't know what that is. I had a flashback to being in the suit next to Waterworld going, you want to take a picture? Hey, there's Beetlejuice. Angela.
Do you have nightmares like that, like servers do about hilarious tables that are sat too much? You're just like in the park and you're in the suit and someone comes up and it's just like, who directed one of them?
And he comes Brian
up
Singer?
Like, Singer comes up and is like, oh, interesting, Wolverine. And you're like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
He knows everything.
That's a Ray nightmare.
It is. It was a terrifying... You know what was even more terrifying is seeing somebody, because, you know, celebrities walk through the park all the time with their families.
Sure.
And me not, like, them telling on me for breaking character was a concern of mine. Because I broke character to talk to Greg Maddux, Dave Matthews. I didn't break character to talk to Stamos, which I've mentioned on this podcast before.
Fucking Stamos.
Because he walked by the kid, and I was like, yeah, I got to have a moment with him. So, like, I used to do this thing to old ladies where I would... this was when I was the New York cop and I wasn't Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't, like, from anything. I used to have this joke about it where I would say, like, you know, I'm a New York cop. I go, which is great because I have a lot of creative freedom because I'm not from anything. Mm-hmm. But, like, so I could just make up my own credits. So those kids would be like, what movie are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from a film called I Got a Theater Degree. And this is where it fucking got me. And stay in school. And but Stan was walking by. I would blow my whistle at old ladies who were walking really slow. And I'd go, you know, boo. I'd go, you know, slow it down, ladies. It's not a race. Like, well, you know, you're going too fast. We got a speed limit around here. And they go, oh, that's funny because I'm already going slow. So I did that to Stamos. I was like, yeah, whoop, from far away. I go, slow down. I go, you're not trying to win a race. You go, you trying to, were they going to run out of mousse downstairs? Were they going to run out of hair product? And he just looks at me and goes, nice. And just, like, kept walking, and I was like,
see?
Oh. Well played, though, because, like, that's what I would do. Because
Stamos is a dick. We all know he is.
No.
Wait a second. I'm surprised with the knowledge you have you didn't say something like, sir, excuse me. Look, it's not everywhere you look there are people.
Whoa.
There's somebody who needs you here, sir, so why don't you pay attention?
God, if I were to... Now, it's funny you bring up that song, because as we were discussing...
That's right.
Our guest, by the way, Justin Ruppel.
Hey. Seattle comedian,
mm-hmm. Hilarious,
comes
great
to
friend.
LA to make good.
To make
he
good.
He does, to make something of himself.
Was that Stewie?
No, I'll do Stewie if you want.
I'm not going to...
sexy parties and stuff like
I don't
that.
I don't want to pimp you out too much of them, but your impressions are so good, and that's... So I would think that's a compliment.
My wife gets tired of it, because if we meet of new course. People and somebody says, I do this impression, she goes, oh, shit.
Oh, God.
Because that's that's my wheelhouse.
Yeah, she knows. Like, the full resume is about to come out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but then I think we all have a little bit of that as comedians, because if I'm ever out and about and, like, someone says, oh, this is my friend Terry, he's really funny, I go, oh, really, asshole?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Knuckles cracking.
How funny is... Yeah, you're about to go just...
Let's fucking do this. Yeah, let's
comedy
go.
Combat.
Oh, man.
I want to ask how you first got in a lot of stuff we want to ask, but sure. Bring up the Full House thing. You said you listened to an episode of this podcast.
You talked about your wedding.
We talked about, like, what song we walked down the aisle to.
Right.
And you... I had no idea that you walked down the aisle to the Full House theme song.
No, I didn't. See, here's what we did.
Okay.
So the walk down, when she walks down...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When she walks down, she had Jimmy Eat World, The Middle, an acoustic version of it.
Nice.
So she walked down.
Okay,
I found
so something
it.
Sweet.
Right. But... She's got long blonde hair. She's 6 feet tall, you know. And when I used to have my hair long and curlier, everybody would say, you know, it's a broke Stamos, right? So so we went as Rebecca Romijn and John Stamos to multiple parties.
Nice.
You know, so to play on the joke, when we said, I now pronounce you husband and wife, it went to the everywhere you look.
And then, like, everyone that was born, like, circa early 80s, mid 90s, is, like, crying and, like, going,
oh, yeah,
they
were
sure.
They were excited. I was crying. I cried all the way through my ceremony.
I was going to say, of course. I'd be curious to know, though, how, in a setting like that, how emotional that song can actually add to.
Yes.
There's the middle.
That's what she walked down.
I'm gonna try to get Justin to cry right now.
Please don't.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Hey. Just think about how
self off. Yeah.
She's a great song.
She's looking so beautiful right there in the dress.
All right, that's enough.
You know you're getting your dick sucked tonight.
What are you doing? Oh, dude. It gets even crazier. All right.
All right, turn off.
Seriously. It gets even crazier.
How so?
All right, so
that's beautiful, by the way, though.
Thanks.
You're even getting choked up about that. Because you just got married.
Yeah, well, it's our anniversary in about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. You made it 1 year.
Now, will success. You play the Home Improvement theme song during the bow? I can never tell if that's Scooby or Tim Taylor. That should be a game show. Is it Scooby or Tim Taylor?
Scooby or Tim Taylor?
I
guess it's pretty distinct, actually.
I'm going to go with Tim Taylor on that one. Actually, no.
You are incorrect.
that was
Scooby's
Scooby.
Also the host.
ghost.
Is this me?
Is this me?
Oh, Jim Taylor.
Oh, shit. You just say, or Tim Taylor, as you just doing Scooby. God damn it. We figured out. We figured. Go ahead.
Is this me? Or Tim Taylor?
We figured out last night with Sam Tripoli that Brad needs to go as Brad can do an amazing Yosemite Sam.
Oh, really?
And we decided that he needs to go as Yosemite Sam for Halloween.
Oh,
next year.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, these are all impressions that I didn't know I
Brad
could do.
Brad has two impressions: Jason Statham and Michael Caine. Yeah. And they're both great. Give them to him real quick, back to back.
All right, because.
All right, well, hold on, because it's kind of the same accent.
They're in line at Subway, and Michael Caine turns to Statham to ask if he can borrow some money because he wants avocado, but he knows it's extra.
Obviously. Excuse me. Your name is Jason? My name is Michael Caine. I'm trying to get a foot-long turkey BLT. Now, I want it, but I'm here in California, and I just want some avocado. Now, they charge at $1.25, right? $1.25 for an avocado, but when you get it, the avocados come out the size of a tangerine.
Tangerine's always in your Caine impression. Is that like a line?
It's from Batman.
Stop on the show.
Yeah.
Rubies the size of a tangerine.
Yeah. Nice.
Ruby's size it of is a great Caine word because he really tastes his words.
All right. Yeah.
I don't do a Caine. That's awesome.
Hey, soon Jason Statham comes over here and says, hey, you can't get an avocado for me, fucking hey. Hey, if I have a fucking avocado on my sandwich, I just take the goddamn avocado and shred it.
That's really good.
So you just do
so
that.
So that's happening, and then Yosemite Sam bursts in.
Because Yosemite Sam is actually the sandwich artist.
Yeah.
And he's like, listen up, armaments. You guys gonna get avocado or not?
Holy shit. Yeah. The guns and everything with the cowboy
pants. I got tiny arms, and if I'm gonna make a foot long, it's gonna take me 22 and a half minutes. It's basically just a more excited macho man.
Oh.
A more excited macho
great.
Man.
But see, that's tarnation in there, and you go,
what in tarnation?
Rabbit.
By the way, the anticipation of Justin being like, throw a tarnation in there, and I'm going to come. I swear to God. Like,
it's a tarnation.
Seeing you in that little outfit with the mini guns shooting, and if we could get away to like have him on stage and have wires and pull him up as he shot the guns.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
Tarnation's my safe word.
So funny. Dude, sexually frustrated. Sexually aggressive Yosemite Sam.
Sexually aggressive Yosemite Sam.
I mean.
Hey, bitch!
He does.
Shit.
You know, if you were to put him in a real life movie, it probably would open with him filling out paperwork for domestic abuse charges.
Listen, she fell down the stairs.
Well, I say, that's not what we heard.
Stop stuttering, varmint.
Who's the stuttering chicken again?
Foghorn Leghorn.
I was going to say Ellen Cleghorn, but she was a black actress from SNL.
Ellen Cleghorn?
I say, Kevin Nealon's on the show today.
Yeah. That's a new character. Ellen Foghorn Leghorn Cleghorn.
Foghorn Cleghorn. Foghorn Cleghorn.
Hey, wait a minute. When did you start doing impressions?
That's so good. I think when I first started was the first time my parents let me watch stand-up was Bill Cosby himself.
Nice.
Right?
Oh, one of the best specials ever.
Right. And so I just memorized that. Like, that was, I think I was probably 9 or 10. And then my parents split, and my mom would kind of let me watch, like, Richard Pryor and Richard Jenny. Yeah, I got really big into Richard Jenny.
You know what? I'm finding this more and more consistent with comics who end up succeeding is that, like, and finding a niche for it is that they get introduced to great stuff early. You have to do that. I saw John Belushi when I was, like, I think 8 or 9, and I think, God, that I was, my dad didn't go like, you can't see the really good stuff until you're old enough to get it. It's like, well, why don't you just help shape my sense of humor and show it to me? I showed my half-brother's Family Guy when they were 8 years old. And guess what? They're fucking smart, sharp dudes.
Yeah, they are.
And they get it. And they have great sense of humor. And there's no worse thing than growing up with a shitty sense of humor.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Danny Glover. Ever find yourself in a bind or a predicament or a who's a what's it? Well, guess what?
Sign up for Danny Glover's Hot Air Balloon Class. That's right. Every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m., I teach a hot air balloon class. That's right, motherfuckers. You get to fly in the sky in a fucking balloon with me, DG, Danny Glover. I'll recite every line from Lethal Weapon or from Angels in the Outfield. Yeah, there's some good ones in there, like, you got an angel with you, hey, I'm going to take this foster kid, and I promise not to touch him. Right. Anyway, classes start from $6 to $26. Depends on how long you want to fly. I ain't talking about weed, but maybe I am. You got 16 different flavors of blunt papers you can choose from up in that balloon. Can I recommend boysenberry or fruity pebbles? Speaking of fruity pebbles, I just found out I got a kid named Dino who lives in Detroit. All right, and we're back.
It's so funny that he's doing that because on the day that we're recording this podcast, it's actually Danny Glover's birthday.
Is it really?
It is. And
he's getting too old for this shit.
He's getting too old for this shit, Riggs.
If there's some way, we're hoping that we just talk about him enough that he'll get on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Anyway, he'll come on for sure. All right, talk about pure luck.
How did I forget about that movie?
Oh, with every Martin Short?
Every time I come in here, you always... You're bad luck. You're bad luck.
Yeah, that's
you're
a great. Luck. What you're doing with your face is great because he does go from he holds a frustrated face,
right.
And then
you're bad luck.
Yeah.
He has that face during the entire Predator 2 movie,
right?
Because he's just like, why am I making this shit?
All right. So your parents, let you see great stuff early on,
right?
And that helped you go, wow, that looks awesome.
Well, so I was just repeating it back to my parents, you know, and swear words too. That was the
nice. And probably even at that age, figuring out that you have a decent skill for mimicry.
Well, here's what's really crazy. I was I'm a huge fan of the podcast, you guys. I spend enough time. Yeah,
it's very sweet. Justin told me he's because you are an Uber driver for a day job while you're making the comedy
summers and stuff like that,
which is a great thing. Which absolutely. We'll go back to because I want to hear about that. But it's a great time to listen to podcasts because you're driving around all the time.
Oh yeah,
and you've listened to so many of them. And what's great about you is that. We're good buds, but you give me great feedback about the podcast. You don't just say great episode.
You just
get specific about things you like, and it's really helpful and awesome to hear because we put these out and we get tweets every now and then and like people send emails, but most people that enjoy shit don't take the time to like let you know.
Yeah, we're comedians, so we get jaded, you know? Yeah. Like so
you're right.
So I'll listen to an hour and a half when you guys go like an hour and a half. I'll listen to an hour and a half Adam Carolla podcast as kind of my background noise.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
He's been a fan of that show forever, by the way.
For 16 years.
Oh, wow.
I've heard you on it forever. You know, I called into Loveline when I was 17. You know,
with what problem?
What was wrong with your dick?
There was nothing wrong with my dick. I called in because I was 17. And
what
I was, about
was
to turn...
wrong with your dick, varmint?
I called in because I was about to turn 18, and the girl I wanted to sleep with was under 18.
Oh,
and I was like, "Am I going to get charged?"
Yeah, that's
statutory
what.
Rape?
That's a great question.
That's a and that's
Carolla,
legitimate problem.
I sounded like I still sound like I do now at like 17, and nice. I was like, "Hey, I called in. I just want to say."
He's like,
and Carolla was like,
"Well, you're 35, so you can't be."
That's almost exactly. He goes, "Listen. What was your name? Justin. Justin. What's this guy." This guy, he's just gone. Listen, Justin, you sound like you're in the Young Republicans or something like you got Ralph Nader's balls. You're probably not even going to do anything adventurous sexually. Her parents will probably handcuff her to you because you have sex in missionary. You're fine. It's not a problem. Isn't that right? Natalie Imbruglia. And she was in the studio, and I was like, da, 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 da,
whoa.
Da, da.
Is she the one who sings I'm Torn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how she sounds, too.
I'm torn.
Yeah.
How's that song go?
Give me a second.
No, hold on a second. Torn.
I guess I don't tell it right.
So I guess the story tells us right.
He was born. He was born.
He was dignified.
I know like two words of every song.
Used to be. But like how? How great that you had that moment with Carolla being right. Really funny off the cuff and providing those moments.
Also.
So does this have you flashback to it?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, this is what I'm walking down the aisle to. Right after my parents get back together during my wedding.
She comes out wearing the jacket like, I don't even know I'm wearing a jacket.
A saw man brought to life.
Yeah.
And then what? He was warm. He came
around. Like he was dignified. So we had
all right. Something yeah, right. We, what you guys don't see is Justin lip-syncing this.
This is where it picks up. Be that man. This is a great road trip song, by the way, because it's got a nice, like, steady beat, and it's building to a chorus
seems that you can care what your heart is for.
This is that song, like, this is a song like from Tommy Boy, where it comes on and all the guys look at each other like, "I'm not changing it.
Yeah,
are you changing
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not changing it.
You are.
Yeah, yeah." And then by the time the chorus like kicks in, we just all burst out.
Inside I'm torn. I'm a little late. This is how I feel. I'm cold and I'm ashamed, lying naked on the floor. Illusions never changed into something real. Wide awake and I can see that perfect sky is torn.
Oh my God, we know too much of that song.
You know, the first time I actually made love
God
was,
damn it, interrupting
to
Tony
song.
Danza.
I was actually just on the exercise bike and I had done about 45 minutes of polymetrics. And I got off.
Pauly Shore's workout?
Yeah. Hilarious.
Polymetrics.
It's the polymetrics, bro. You stretch and then you hit the weight.
I think polymetrics is playing at Coachella next week.
Podcast. You can tell he listens, people.
Wait a minute. So you started this by saying you listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So I called it. I called in, and this is my first. This is fucking crazy. I'm not trying to screw with you. Yeah. Right. Third grade, the first memory I have of like, okay, I'm going to do something talent related.
Yeah.
Was I used to watch a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Okay.
So.
How much?
I mean. A lot.
All
like, I'd go home with my I had a little sister who's a few years younger than me, and she'd just do whatever I was doing at the time. So I was like, third grade's like, what, eight?
Yep.
Eight. So she was like four. So she'd sit there with me. And so the first thing I did, they said, there's going to be a talent show. And I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. Impressions.
The whole cast.
What I thought I'd do.
Okay.
And this is good. I'm not making this up because you said this.
Yeah.
I was like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have my dad build a four by four sheet with like white paper.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're going to shine a light and I'm going to be standing behind like the white curtain so you don't see me.
Yeah.
Okay. So that you believe that I'm doing these voices because
they're back there. Yeah.
Right. Because they're not going to believe it unless if they see a little kid.
Sure.
And I put down impressions. Splinter. Claw.
Dr. Claw
from Inspector Gadget and Shredder. Those were my three impressions.
The James Avery Shredder.
By the way, they all that's like doing the Kermit the Frog, Ray Romano, and
Christopher Walken.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But I mean, I'm saying like they all live in the same.
They're
vocal,
all the same thing,
but
right?
There are variations.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and so I was sure of it, and all the way up until the day they finally cut me. They're like, listen.
People aren't big fans of Dr. Claw. We had actually a teacher who had pushed a teacher down the stairs and said that was his move called the Dr. Claw move.
Right.
He's a tiny guy with guns and a giant red beard.
Yeah, we have a guy from Nam who lost an arm, and the kids all call him Dr. Claw.
Right.
And
I think you know how insensitive that's going to be.
Yeah.
So why they? Like,
so they cut.
How bummed were you?
I was pretty bummed.
That's like Jordan getting cut from the team.
But I kept doing it. You know, I kept like doing the little voices and everything. Yeah. And then when I was in middle school, I did a performance. A lip sync contest came up. I'm like, well, I'm not fucking this up again.
Yeah.
And so I did Michael Jackson's Beat It. And I just lip synced it and danced with the hat and everything. And I was small and light on my feet back then, so I was fast.
Right, so Michael would have found you attractive.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I was here
right now. We all have.
Hey, I wish I had a aura.
Oh, come on, that ain't nice.
Come on, I wasn't his lover. Anyway.
Did
you crush it? People went nuts.
Oh, they went nuts.
Okay.
It's nuts so much so that I won that one, and my ego got a hold of me, and I was like, I got to do this for the rest of my life.
What if you just went into a Shredder impression at the end of that dance just to fuck with him from last year? Like, I'll be back next year. I'll get you, Principal Williams.
Hold on a second. I need to hear because I heard in one of the podcasts again, I want to see you doing Splinter because it's so good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, your Splinter.
Oh, thanks, man. That's Splinter. Like one of the first impressions I ever
exactly.
did. Well, the first impression I ever did was of, I think I've told on this podcast, the girl who I had a crush on in fourth grade. Named Annie Bernhard, who I was fat, so she liked my skinny athletic buddy. So I was like, well, I might as well, I can sound like her because I haven't hit puberty yet. So I would call him for 2 weeks and pretend to be her and have conversations with him. Me and my buddy would sit there on speakerphone.
No way.
Hey, so you gonna sit next to me next to lunch tomorrow?
Holy
That's
shit.
How she still, by the way, sounded because she had very, it was like very in the back of her throat and like very scratchy. But
that's so when weird. Your voice hadn't dropped.
Yeah. And for you, that's to this day, that's still like your go to female voice when you're doing like a female act out on stage, is you do your impression of her essentially.
Probably,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably,
oh
yeah.
God.
That's
and,
crazy.
And so she, I would call, and I didn't really fuck, I didn't take advantage of it because I would be like, come sit next to me at lunch tomorrow and we'll share a sandwich. And then my buddy and I would say that. Or I'd say that, and then we'd see lunch tomorrow, and he'd sit next to her, and he'd like share the sandwich, and we're like, it's happening! What we told him to do, it's happening! But we didn't take advantage. I should have been like, take your dick out and rub it on the pretzels, you know?
Take your dick out and rub it on the pretzels. That's,
that was the original opening lyric of Natalie and Bulia's Torn.
Because
she was torn. She still wanted to eat the pretzels, but there was dick pretzel
there's
on
dick
it.
Pretzel. Saltiness.
Too much. So anyway, so that was the,
that was the first impression.
But Splinter was right after.
All right, so let me hear Splinter.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait. Can you still do Shredder?
Remember it now. I
okay.
Can't
what was Shredder's like, Japanese name? Hiroku Saki?
Hiroku
Saki.
Hiroku Saki. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And Splinter's name was like, I don't know.
Oh boy.
I'll look it up.
Jeremy Lin. This is what I want for you. This is what I want for you.
Hamato Yoshi.
Hamato Yoshi.
How did I pull that?
I was going to say Yoshinoya.
Fucking pad.
No, it's not. It's all right, on the internet.
Right. Hamato Yoshi. Okay. All right. What I want you to do is I want you to tell me the origin story.
Sure.
From, yeah.
Brad, do you have any sort of like weird turtle? I mean, we can add
weird
this.
Turtle music.
I do.
Do you really just?
Do you have any Splinter intense speech music?
All right, hold on.
No, we can put it in post.
I don't care.
Hold on a second, Lucy.
Well, the origins of Splinter. First of all, it's you can't do it unless your voice is deeper because obviously, and also I'm doing the impression of him not from the cartoon, from the first movie. Because to me, that's not only one of the greatest films of all time.
Fuck yeah.
It's the best Turtles movie because they're the most real.
Yes, this is a theme song for my sons. 5 years ago, I had found tiny turtles in a sewer. And I took some ooze that I had from a laboratory that had been broken into. And the ooze... Sorry, my facts on the story.
Hold on here. Play to this one.
Hold on. Justin's got
But something. I do love that song, and I do love being a turtle.
Oh, I got to change this. Hold on one second.
A father to a turtle. Anyway, let me just tell you about the day before you get to this song. Earlier today, I was on Tinder, and I was swiping right too many times, and I thought, finally, give some of these girls a chance. So I came across a girl named Rebecca who had giant white titties. And she lived in Bakersfield. I thought that is too far for me to drive, but I'm also super, super horny. I said, maybe I can show her a cowabunga.
All right. This is epic.
25 years ago, I was in a cage for my leader, who was an intense karate instructor. The cage broke. I was freed from the cage. And they took one swipe of my face, leaving the cut on my face. 20 years later, I learned and taught myself how to do karate in a dojo. That is how I got so good at fighting. Then I found some ooze. Keep playing the music, you cocksucker. I found the ooze and put it on the turtles. And I decided to name them all after my favorite paintings, who coincidentally are also the names of my four favorite sexual positions that I would do to other rats. I named them. Well, the first sexual position I learned was called the fival. It's where you fuck the girl so well, she gets separated from her family and thinks about it in the tiny corner of a window at a bar.
It's called the
Leonardo. My
Michelangelo and Raphael.
That is so much better than a donkey punch.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Hey, great music, man.
It's from Man of Steel. Dude, that was so awesome.
You pulled out the 5-0.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's
that's fucked. That's...
But,
how do we go on after the 5-0?
Yeah. How do we say after 5-0?
Dude, the Splinter Chronicles, like, Splinter, why didn't Splinter ever get a spinoff?
I don't know.
Right?
I had a chance to voice match for what's his face?
Kevin Clash?
No. The new movie.
New Turtle movie.
Yeah, the new Turtle movie.
Voice match for who?
The guy who played Antonio Scarpacci on Wings.
Yeah.
What's his face? Tony Shalhoub. Tony Shalhoub.
Well, yeah. Who is he?
He's Splinter.
Yeah. Tony Shalhoub is Splinter.
Holy
Monk
shit.
Is Splinter.
My turtle friends. Yeah,
like, is that...
You have come a long way.
It's very like, yeah.
Yeah, wow. It's
different sound.
You know, Kevin Clash, who's, by the way, also the voice of Elmo, who does Splinter, like, is so deep. That voice is so deep and like so broken up and then,
very weak
and defeated.
Millions of years ago.
Yeah. Like when he was hung up on that fucking cross in the Foot Clan's warehouse and he was just
Danny, you have friends. You have...
Oh shit! That hurts.
Doing like Splinter hurts. Yeah,
it hurts.
It's deep,
it
man.
Like,
you all right, dude?
Yeah, no, that hurts the back of your throat because it makes it. Yeah, and the weed too.
Yeah, that and the weed. All right, so then, so
these are not your family.
Yeah,
we are your family.
That was an intense moment.
I cried. Who doesn't cry?
That's when like every 7-year-old's like, the turtles are your family.
Yeah,
daddy.
Yeah
exactly.
Choose the
Take
turtle.
Take off the Foot Clan head.
Dude,
man.
There was a lot. There was
join
some giant...
Casey Jones and his creepy math.
There were a lot of storylines in that. I mean, because Danny's dad was gone. He was like the rebel kid, like in that. But by the way, how dope when he first went down to that secret like kid hangout. You were like, this is the fuck. This is like Funplex.
Yeah.
He's got
10.
Pizza. He's got a phone
booth. Video games. All the kids are like smoking.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. Oh, you're talking about, the hangout place. Yeah. It's like Mentos and regulars. Yeah. And he's like, they're just skating through the whole place.
There's just a track on everything. My favorite moment is the bald guy. Was it Tatsu?
Yeah.
That guy when he like gets bumped into.
He spoke in grunts.
Yeah. He goes, go play. Have fun.
Ninja. Banish.
Did you hear in the first cut, the kid died. He killed
what?
That kid. In the movie.
Yeah.
He killed, like when he goes and beats up the Foot Clan in the locker room and just like wrecks all that shit and then kicks the one kid in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And they go down and they take his face mask off and he's like, he's okay. He's going to be okay. Like that's an ADR they added.
Oh, really?
A week before the movie opened, they're like, "It's too dark if this guy just killed this kid."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because then he kicks that one Foot Clan member, right. and so like in the original cut, they're like, "Killed him."
Yep, he's dead. He's a kid. He's dead.
He's got kicked in the face by a fucking karate master that's 9 times his size,
right
in the fucking temple, and you're like, "He's gonna be okay." No, his head's rolling down the stairs.
I like the executive that came in and is like, "Listen. It's not believable. We got to make it a happy ending." The director's like, "No, listen, he would have died." And he's like, "Are you making this argument in a movie where we have ninja mutant ninja turtles?"
Yes. Yeah. But hey, man, like, but that's a big deal to a kid. When I was a kid watching Hook, right? Exactly. Like, I'd be like, in the
my
camera.
My word is my bond.
And the camera went away from Rufio. I'm like, Rufio's still alive, right?
Right.
Yeah. Rufio's still alive. He's going to get up, right? Rufio's going to get up.
By the way, here's how big the Turtle movie was. At the time, MC Hammer did the T-U-R-T-L-E power.
Teenage
Mutant. Like, Hammer was the shit. Too legit to quit.
That wasn't.
I love
that
the pause you put in there. By
all
the
right,
way.
Hold on a second. That wasn't
that was
actually
very Christopher Walken.
That wasn't MC Hammer. That wasn't MC Hammer though.
It
wasn't.
T-U-R-T-L-E power.
No, it's not. Here, I'll play it for you.
Who is it?
Tone Loke.
It's called Partners in Crime. That's the guy who it is.
It sounds like Tone Loke.
It does sound like Tone Loke. This guy's the shit. Listen to the lyrics. He rapping.
It's a great song.
Are you kidding me? This better be, they better use this again.
They have to.
Can we pull back a little?
This sounds like the Humpty Dance.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah.
Did Will Smith write this? Yeah.
Yeah. Here it comes. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness. Get me a reporter. Call April O'Neill in on this case. Hey, you better hurry up. There's no time to wait.
Wow.
We need help like quick on the double. Have pity on
us.
Man, it's in trouble. We need help.
This I swear this is the Humpty guy.
It sounds like
it has to be.
Yeah.
Right.
P-U-R-T-L-E power.
Dude, what a song.
I thought it was, I looked it up for a while. It's like, it's MC Hammer, right?
I changed my mind. I'm walking down the aisle of that song.
Yeah.
Like, hey, future Adam Ray wife, if you're out there listening, you better be cool with that shit.
And all your groomsmen are going to have shells on their backs.
Yes.
And, just so you know.
And the guy marrying us will be a puppet.
Do you?
A Splinter puppet?
Yeah, Splinter. And he's going to like,
do you take this woman to be your crime partner in crime? Now dip her into the ooze and complete her circle. And make her super tits.
All right. So you win the talent competition.
So I did like, I got like a microcosm of fame. From 8th to like 9th.
By the way, I just said and make her super tits. I don't know if he meant like put ooze on her tits and make them into like bigger mutant tits.
That's what I was thinking.
Or maybe she becomes her character's name.
Super tits? Bebop, Rocksteady, super tits.
Well, I mean, you saw what it did to the Shredder.
That's right.
At the end of number 2.
Oh, man.
It's a super Shredder! Which turned out to be wrestler Kevin Nash playing that part.
That's right, it was.
Yeah, a little bit of trivia.
All
right,
Diesel.
We're spending too much time on Turtles. Too little time.
How dare you even say that sentence?
You're right. I know. God, you're right.
We're spending too much time on Turtles?
You're right.
There's
not enough time for
Turtles.
Right.
What would 10-year-old Adam Ray tell you?
Where are the chocolate-covered granola bars?
That's true. He would say that. 10-year-old Adam Ray would say
that. Quaker bars. All right. Yeah. So you win the talent competition.
So I had a microcosm of fame. So the next one was a talent show. I did another one and won that. Nice. I did Smooth Criminal. The next year was 8th grade.
So at this point, you probably thought you were going to be a musician and like or at least an impressionist of some sort.
I thought impressionist of some sort.
He's like, going to tour talent shows across the country.
Exactly.
Fingering chicks along the way.
I had friends who were like, let's sell the gloves that you wore.
Holy
like
shit.
Like all sorts of crazy shit, right?
I imagine all those friends are Italian, like fucking the guy, Vinny from Doogie Howser. Like,
right.
Hey, you want to sell the gloves, Doog?
Hilarious. Yeah, he probably is trying to auction off like Doogie Howser lab coats.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Well, I would.
Stethoscopes? He
hey,
breathed on this.
You know what? Doogie sneezed on this cloth in episode 7 in season 5 after he saved some guy who was having a heart attack outside of an iron.
Doog.
Doog, yeah.
Doog.
Are we about to have dueling Vinnies?
No, I can't do Vinny.
By the way, Doogie Howser, that show was fucking life-changing.
Oh, dude.
You know why? For because sure. It showed kids, hey, man, you put your mind to it, you can do anything.
Doctor. Right.
Be a doctor.
It's a possibility.
Even those phenom Indian kids were probably like, I was at least 15 before I got my degree. He was 9.
This does not seem that far off.
It does not seem. But
this must be standard American child. This is, you must study harder.
Yeah.
All the American boys are 15 years old and doctors.
I like the idea of the parent who saw the show in India and is like, unbelievable.
You only got it at 15. This young man has got it at 13. How far behind are you?
And he has a hilarious Italian friend coming in for quick quips on the day.
He's getting dates. What has happened to you?
He's getting dates.
You are 14 and not yet married. You do not have a computer. You keep a diary. Never.
That's so funny. That's a great idea for a movie. An Indian dad who's so down on his son that he forces him to like go track down Doogie and find out like what his secret was.
Oh God.
And we call it Looking for Doogie.
Looking for Doogie.
A Lifetime original.
Looking for Doogie.
Starring Michael Caine.
Michael.
As the Indian father.
Wait, so I do Michael Caine doing
Indian
accents? I saw Brad
start to prepare as Michael Caine, and then I go, as the Indian father.
I start to prepare the Michael Caine voice, right? But then he says, I got to do it in Indian accent. How the fuck do I do that?
He only has Michael Caine.
Yeah, okay, so it does it as Michael Caine. You look at this guy over here. He's 15 years old. He's already a doctor, and right now he's squeezing boobs the size of a tangerine.
I was just waiting.
Brought it back to the tangerine.
I knew this was going
to
end with tangerine.
Oh, thank God.
They always do.
They got it did.
All right, so you travel, you get Michael Jackson down.
So I get Michael Jackson down, and then I get older, and I'm like, so the next year I did Michael Jackson again, and then put more people into the act, and we all choreographed, and I won again.
Oh, shit.
And then I was like, I'm going to get good on it. I'm going to do Elvis. Right.
Oh, you're gonna go full Andy. You can go full Andy Kaufman.
Now here's what happened. This is why I know the full level of fame. I went out and I brought teddy bears and I did the song Teddy Bear. And so in the part of the show, I threw out teddy bears to girls in the audience.
Man.
I got pretty full of myself. The jocks, and I was not a jock, I was a tiny little kid. Mm-hmm. The jocks wrestled the bears away and all stood up and fired 15 of these things at me on stage in front of 400 kids.
Shut
what?
Up.
And dude, here's the worst. I'm like
they
dancing
basically
away
just
from
pulled
a couple.
The rug out from under your entire act.
Oh, yeah. Everything. My life crumbled. Like they
now the
hit
chicks
me in
are
the
like,
face, you know.
Oh, that was like that was like a they side with the jocks, no or what?
So,
or they feel bad
so
for you.
It was a mixture of both. It was like,
God.
So like all the guys finally turned on me like this stupid asshole's in every one of these competitions and he wins every time.
And they're seeing the reaction the girls are getting from watching.
Right. And they're like, that's enough. We're 4 feet taller than him.
That's enough. We're throwing teddy bears at him. Yeah. We're putting a stop to this.
Oh, we're not letting him go that far. Sorry. You lose in the face, teddy bear.
You can dance up a storm and impersonate celebrities.
But if you give away free stuffed animals to these chicks we're trying to finger. All right. So
I got second.
What is the feeling, by the way?
Wait, getting? Who'd you lose to?
Here's the thing. I lost to a kid who did backup dance to me for 2 years in two different ones, and then did Mortal Kombat, and he was a actual Taekwondo master.
Oh, shit.
And he turned the lights off and put glow sticks on his nunchucks.
Oh, shit.
And glow sticks on his legs. I'm like, yeah, I lost.
Yeah, okay.
I lose.
I was going to say, like, if you lost to some kid lip syncing to NSYNC, I would go over to his house right now and beat the shit out of him. All right?
Justifiably.
Yeah, but, like, if he's doing... Yeah, if
Mortal Kombat, glow sticks, neon lights. Yeah, good night. That would, dude. If that was Star Search, you'd win today. Yeah, that's right. Incredible.
It was awesome. Chris Wells. It was the most awesome thing I've ever heard.
Where's that kid now?
Oh, he's probably doing awesome stuff.
Where do you go from there?
I don't know.
If you do a Mortal Kombat like medley of moves,
you can't beat that.
You can't beat that.
No, you can't beat that. Yeah.
All right. So then you, you get second, and that does that make you go? All right. Well, I got a nice taste of that, but I lost. So does that make you like almost like when you start out doing stand up and you bomb? You're like, well, I don't want to have that feeling again, so I want to do it again and get better. Is that
right?
Was that a little?
That's exactly what happened. So all of my sports from then on, if I played team sports,
Brad's in his own world right now.
Oh yes,
dude, you're trying to make him cry with every song in the book. You're trying to make him cry with Jimmy Eat World.
Just rub it in.
Wouldn't it be great if you didn't cry during the song your wife walked down the aisle to, but you started crying because over the song you lost in the talent competition?
Such
damn.
And then I pull out a teddy bear.
Fight! You just throw him at me.
Test your might. Dodge the teddy bear.
Finish him. You rip a Teddy Ruxpin even comes out and says, finish him. Yo.
Oh, shit.
Side note, if you put any tape in the Teddy Ruxpin back, like he starts singing to that.
He starts singing Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. Like, so if you put a Mortal Kombat tape in the back of a Teddy Ruxpin.
Are you serious?
His mouth starts moving. He goes, Mortal Kombat. Like,
I mean, I want to see that.
That's awesome.
It's the best.
That sounds like a really great high activity, just to get a lot of cassette tapes and sit there for hours and put them inside a Ruxpin.
Right.
Like, will Ruxpin sing it? That's a great stoner game. You bet on if he will sing the tape you put in.
Yeah. He's going to sing Afro Man because I got high.
Wow. Because I got high.
Sorry to make you cry. Go
so
back.
You do. So now you're like, all right, I want to maybe try to not just do. I want to take these. I want to keep being on the stage.
Right.
Right. So how do you?
So all the sports were individual sports like tennis. You know.
Yep.
And wrestling, and then all the everything after that. I went into broadcast school at Washington State and did that for a couple of years at. After I got out of college.
Yeah, you have a great voice. You should be on the radio.
We sound a lot. We sound a lot alike.
Have you done radio a little bit though, or sports? I want to be a sports broadcaster for the longest time.
That's what I wanted to. And then when I got out of college and did it for 2 years and wrote the news, at CBS in Seattle.
Oh, shit.
I got Andrew Slater involved with him.
Oh, shit.
He worked with me, too.
Nice. Wait, you wrote the news?
Yeah, it was like you'd write copy, you know? Like, wow. You'd write copy, and
like
then they'd read it on...
Like, all right, so let's say a story like Brad calls in and goes, hey, I'm at a Baskin-Robbins. There's a family of little people here. They're trying to give us the tiny spoons.
Breaking
and they
news.
Think it's funny.
Breaking news from Moore Park. A call from an exhausted patron inside at Baskin and Robbins ended with police dispatchment of at least three squads. Upon arrival at the scene, the alleged assailant said all he wanted was Kooky Crisps.
Oh my God! Saying Kahuki Crisp in a serious newscaster voice, but that's true because all the newscasters they like overpronounce every syllable
exactly
because they want to make sure they get it right.
Also, yeah.
The Kahuki Crisp. Oh my God! That's so great.
And you used every proper word
right.
Like that sounded so official.
Yeah,
words
you
like
get used to it.
Words assailant. Like assailant, not yeah. that crazy motherfucker. Yeah, right.
So I wrote the copy for a while, and then I kept going to Giggles every time where I first met you.
Yep.
In 2000, I think I met Adam in like 2006.
I think when I first time I went up there and featured for Jeff Dye. That was the first time I had done that. Well, I'd done a few open mics there because I did a few open mics at Giggles, which was like, I'd say, the best comedy club in Seattle for
right.
a little while.
It was, yeah.
You know, Seinfeld, Gaffigan, Giraldo went through there. It was mm-hmm. just a great location. It's right next to the University of Washington.
Yeah.
And then, for you know, it's shut down since, got turned into Jiggles, the strip club.
And I performed at that, too.
All right, well, we'll get to that.
It's all come full circle.
I want to hear it. All right. So, but yeah, we met at Giggles. Yeah. And
well, here's the interesting thing.
What was that meeting like?
Well, when I met you.
What was it like to meet me, Justin Rubble?
Sure. Well, I specifically remember it.
That's how fantastic was it to meet me?
I ask because I don't remember good details about mm-hmm. The past. And so when people retell me stories about things, I'm always like, It's almost like I have Alzheimer's, and you're telling me I'm like the guy in The Notebook when you're like, "Hey,
tell him the story back." It's like, "Wow, that's a crazy story you just told. That was you."
Yeah. But I'm curious to hear like if there was something funny that like went down.
No, here's how it went down. So
hopefully, I wasn't a dick.
No. So I was going there every Sunday and every Thursday through Sunday, I'd find a way to get to the Giggles and just sit there and wait for Terry to point at me. And Jeff was and still, you know, to the reigning day was the one we're always like, well, Jeff's going to be famous.
Yeah,
Jeff Dye.
Yeah, Jeff Dye.
Yeah.
He's going to be famous, and he's going to be on television. We're just all waiting till he does that so that we can climb up to his spot when he leaves. You know, kind of like the scene in Good Will Hunting where he's like, oh, he's not getting in the car today. I'm taking shotgun.
Yeah,
right.
So all of a sudden, one day, Jeff was headlining, and you showed up backwards Mariner hat.
Yeah.
Right? And I was just a host, and that's basically the position I've settled into a lot in comedy because that's just the sound of my voice and the
you're
fact
comfortable
that,
doing it. You're good at it.
I like doing it. There's something weird about it. But so Ray comes in and I ask the rest of the guys because I'm like, oh, this is another guy with a backwards hat.
There can only be one.
So I'm looking around, and the rest of the guys are like, yeah, that's Dye's friend. And you'd had a great set, and came off, and I was like, hey, I'm Justin Rubling. Hey, how's it going? I'm Adam Ray. You know, and
you just can use your same voice for Adam Ray, by the way.
No, I'll do my Adam Ray impression. This is my Adam Ray impression. No, this is good. It was good. It was a good set. And
so
you're awesome and gave me advice. Immediately.
Jesus.
Immediately.
Wow. As
you're like,
what kind of advice?
I was like, well, I've just started, you know, what should I do? And you're like, from what I know, you got to be here. You got to be here. And I was like, yeah. And you're like every day. And I'm like, yeah, every day. Okay. And I was like, anything else? He's like, no, just got to be here. And I was like, okay. He's like,
I mean, that's pretty good advice.
That's amazing advice because beyond that, no one said anything to me.
I mean, technically, yeah, because you're not going to make it as a stand-up unless you're doing it.
Well, yeah, and
you got to be here. Yeah,
yeah, I mean,
you're hoping for more of a, like,
by the way, a
saltier anecdote.
Well, and then Ruppel pulls up his sleeve to reveal the "you gotta be here" tattoo.
And then there it is.
With my face.
Yeah, with Adam Ray's face. Like, this is the motherfucker that
and
got
that
me
that was
in
the
show
moment.
Business.
Now, I went to Giggles because when I was 14, I saw Richard Jenny there. And I was like, I'm going to do
so good.
I'm going to do comedy in the same place that guy did. Because that guy was the best. And he still is. If I have a choice to watch any comic right now, living or dead, I'd be watching his specials.
Yeah. And for some people that may not know, I mean, you know Richard Jenny. He's a guy that if you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
But he was the, I don't know, I'm trying to think of his movie roles you might know him from. Like the best friend of the mask.
Yeah, he's the best friend of the mask. That's what most people know him from.
Right. But like his stand-up, he wrote bits. Like some guys write bits to make you go, like, oh, I could do that. Richard Jenny wrote bits that make you go, I could never do that.
I know.
I could never be a comedian. That's what you do?
Yeah.
You have to write bits like that?
Right.
Like, no.
So good that they came full circle. You know, like they started one place and wrapped around itself and ate itself, and it was that good.
Yeah.
And what I loved about him is that I never heard him use or and or like ever. It was a seamless act. And when people say, oh, yeah, I love the conversational guys, I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. I am not that guy.
Right.
And the guys I admire are the ones who are like, no, I know every word, where I'm putting it.
Yeah.
I can mix it around and put it different places if I want, manipulate it based on the audience and leave some jokes out. But I saw him shoot down a heckler in Giggles. And this woman just, he took a drink of water. It was the only space where she could. She goes, do the platypus, man.
Yeah.
Do the platypus, man. And by the time he got his drink down, he goes, madam, it is at this point in the show that I'm sure that you have noticed that there is no microphone on your table. That is because you are not supposed to contribute to the show. I, on the other hand, have a microphone. Now, I would take my cues from the man sitting next to you, or should I say, hiding under the table in shame that he brought you, judging by your outfit and, frankly, whatever it was you just said at me. So if we can agree that moving on, I do the jokes, then from here on out, do us all a favor and shut the fuck up. It was like, holy this guy's so in control.
Right.
And she literally got up and just like kind of nuzzled outside and never dealt with it again.
Yeah. What do you say at that point?
You don't.
It's like even his comebacks to heckles feel like they've been practiced and they're so meticulous and they're just like, okay, this is what, like the guy is so prepared. And that's, Jenny was also one of my favorites. And so when you see that, and then I'd go to open mics and like guys would like have their sheet of paper and be like, what are we going to talk about? And I'm in my head, I'm freaking out. 'Cause I'm like, it's 3 minutes at an open mic.
Yeah.
You should have every word down. Like you don't have time to be like, what's going on in the news? Yeah. Fucking go.
Richard was already there. Holy shit. He's already done.
Yeah.
He's one of your favorite comics.
Mm-hmm.
So when you got into stand up and finally got going, then you got like after we met at Giggles and stuff, and I gave you that amazing advice and kept you going. You then went to when did you get the gig at the Parlor in Seattle?
2008. I did the Seattle International, and I got fourth in that. And they had a very host feel then. I had a host feel then, and the bookers at the club there said, "Hey, we're going to open up a club in 2 months." And we'd like to book you as the regular host. And so I was like, I didn't think that existed anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Some clubs still have it. A house MC. You see it at the Parlor Live. You see it at the Ice House in Pasadena with
Frazier Smith.
Jimmy Burns.
It's an incredible honor because the host job is not easy. You have to be funny, but you can't fucking like... you can't be too one way or the other as far as like how edgy you are. You have to just almost down the middle, and you got to be likable and personable, and you're welcoming people to the party, and it's like you got to be likable have all those assets going.
You have to be I always liken it to, if you're the host, you are the Vice President of the United States. The Vice President of the United States serves as not only in the executive branch, he's also in the Congress. He's the highest vote breaker in the House of Representatives. So he's in two branches of government.
Yeah.
He's in not judicial, executive and legislator. So
I even
you, so he's because,
you could have said captain of the cool, so, Christmas. Adam and I would have been like, yeah, obviously.
He goes to the Fruity Pebbles.
We know Jack.
Wait, do that line one more time. I'm probably going to take that sound bite if we can somehow get it of you being like, and apparently the.
We found out the assailant was only interested in the Kahuki crisps. no, that's
perfect.
The host watches the show, and he also is in the show.
Yeah.
So your job is to go up and be like, hey, that was something and something. Like, I have to be part of you guys here. Let's all address the elephant in the room. If it's stank, you have to be like, hey, that was weird.
Yeah, you do.
You know, if it was great, you say nothing.
And would you do that?
Would I do what?
Like, do that.
Oh, yeah. If somebody tanked... I had the people who run the parlor up in Seattle and Bellevue are so they know exactly what they want. And the advice was always, look, if somebody doesn't leave on a high note, go up and do one of the impressions in between.
Yeah.
So that's how I compiled 100 different ways to do the characters in weird situations just so I could walk up there and off of nothing go, there was so and so. Hey, wouldn't it be crazy if fill in the blank?
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, but and then it's strange because a lot of times and how the sort of system works is that the quote unquote worst comic on the lineup is thrown up as host,
right?
When really that's other than headliner, like that's the most important job,
right.
And even with a good headliner, a terrible host can still bring down a show,
right.
And not make it to its true potential because because like you say, you are the go between from the audience to the performers. So you like you say, you come out, you go, hey, that guy was fucking great. Oh my god, that was so much fun to watch. And then if a guy bombs, you have to walk that tightrope of being like, okay, I have to acknowledge that he bombed, but then at the same time, he is a comic. He's one of me. I'm one of him. Yeah. So I can't just be like, well, that guy fucking sucked.
It's like, it's like an offensive lineman. Like, you don't notice he did a good job until all of a sudden you're like, has the quarterback gone down today?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
And he keeps rolling to that weak side. Jesus, that one guy is manhandling the entire offensive line. He's got two guys in his hands, and you're like, I didn't even notice he was there. And now that I notice him, I can't not notice him.
Right.
Now that guy's the reason they win.
Yeah.
So
it should be the guys starting out should be like at feature spot.
Right.
Doing like
the
10
easiest, the sweet spot.
Yeah. Oh, doing 10, so 15 fun. Minutes when it's so hard not to have a good set. Right. And then like the really experienced guys should be hosting. And then,
oh, I know something too about eating shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The host spot, when you start off, they're still either getting drinks or getting food.
Or being sat sometimes.
Or being sat.
Yeah, for the late
show. And,
or just anxiously waiting for the guy they came to see.
Right. They paid a lot of money to see a celebrity, and it's only me and the guy on. They're like, get to it.
How many? So obviously, the parlor is one of the, if not the biggest club in Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And established itself with like the people it gets to come through there. So you got to work with like everybody.
I was really lucky. Yeah, a lot of people came through.
All awesome. Yeah, I mean, like and stuff like, who are some of your favorites you got to work with?
The guys who made me laugh the hardest.
Yeah.
And I think if people listen to the show, I think you've heard them before. I think the best working guys that came through. Sebastian Maniscalco makes me laugh until I pee.
Yeah.
Like that guy, what's the deal with this?
Yeah, dude, the Band-Aid in the pool. Oh. Have you seen like he just
I do my
aren't you embarrassed? Nobody embarrassed anymore?
To my mom, I do a Sebastian bit and it's an impression I do, but no one gets it because he's not big enough yet. And when he does get so big, I'm gonna be the first to have done it.
He just did his next special in Chicago and hopefully that is our special. And I was with him in New York when he worked it out and it's like it's unreal.
Dude. I went shopping at Ross Dress for Less. Have you been to this place? Looks like downtown Beirut. So I was finally found a pair of pants in housewares.
He's just so subtle.
Open it up. It's a pair of forks.
I remember there was one night at the Laugh Factory, 10 p.m. show. I went up on stage. I had a good set because I thought I was closing the show, and so I thought like, all right, I'll do all my stuff and be really high energy and like lap dance, like fucking everything.
Right.
And then I never do a lap dance if I know someone's going on after.
Right. Because you don't want to burn the stage.
No, it's not nice.
It's so not nice,
it's not nice to do. So I go up. I do the lap dance. I'm doing everything. Fucking great set. And then the host comes up and goes, oh, we got one more. He just decided to drop by. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I didn't know.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. And then
it's Sebastian. I'm like, and I hadn't really seen him that much. Yeah. I just seen him one time, and I knew he was kind of low energy. I'm like, oh God, he's low energy. And I said, a lap dance, it's gonna be horrible. You know, fuck you, Brad Williams.
Yeah.
He goes on stage.
Did you do Faith the Dog?
Oh my God. That dude took that audience that was so rowdy, brought him to his level, and then just crushed in a way that I have never seen. Just obliterated the room.
He's Richard Jenny in that yeah. same way that, like, there's never a wasted word.
Yeah.
He doesn't struggle for the words. He knows exactly where.
And his point of view is so sharp now that it's like anything he says is just like, you know. So who else?
Burr was
yep.
wonderful. Let's see here.
And guys that you didn't maybe know of that you saw live, and then you got a...
Kirk Fox blew me away
yeah.
on stage.
Yeah, Kirk
when
Fox.
When I saw Kirk Fox.
Former the guest of this podcast.
The funniest human being I know with the sharpest mind.
Yeah.
Chris Porter.
Yeah.
Chris Porter.
Yeah.
Chris Porter.
Have you heard him on this podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
When, so great.
By the way, he
jizzed when he said that. Did you hear him? Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, the guy.
Oh, God. Chris Porter. Lee looks like Willy Wonka.
When he's describing... and not all people, not all rapists wear axe.
Yeah.
But you know, wait, shit. How did he say it? He says, he's like, look, I hate axe body spray. I hate it. I hate it. All the stupid commercials coming on. Look, you're not a rapist if you wear axe. But all rapists wear axe. That's what I'm saying.
So good.
God, so
and then, like, you hone your craft up there yeah. now. But and then you face the thing that I'm always very envious of you guys that came from somewhere else. Because
yeah.
I was born and raised in Southern California. My first ever open mic night was at the Laugh Factory. So I'm already sort of in it.
Right.
Like, you guys had to have that moment of... I got to move.
Right.
Well, I got to get up and leave everything.
I was lucky. Well, this is going to sound like I'm kissing ass, but I'm
Yeah,
not,
Brad
I'm
was
not.
Born in Whoville, so he already had he already had an introduction to the entertainment business.
Exactly.
So it's like you and I had to come from homes.
He was in Whoville.
I walked out and there's Jim Carrey in the Grinch outfit going, welcome to show business, kid.
His friend's a giant elephant that no one sees.
That would be, by the way, a great place to grow up.
Oh, yeah. Whoville, for sure.
Ah, sure.
Little Hoosits.
Yeah. Little Hoosits and Whatsits.
Well, when
Which is the name of the strip club.
Yeah.
Hoosits and Whatsits.
Hey, we're going to get your beer down at Hoosits and Whatsits.
By the way, it's always got to be a guy. That's the type of clientele they're getting, by the way. Whoever that was.
Yeah.
Yosemite Sam's, like, stepbrother.
We're going to Hoosits and Whatsits.
Yosemite's
still
working.
Hoosits and Whatsits.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to Hoosits and Whatsits.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to go see Cindy Lou Who. She's all grown up. Those Whatsits are now 18.
Ooh, gee, holy shit.
I'm crying.
Oh, my God.
Those Whatsits are now 18.
Yeah.
I'm about to...
Both of them.
I'm about to...
Oh shit!
Back to my question. Back to my question.
Right, so moved,
I had some people that I could look to. You know, Seattle is. I don't know if it's the weather or it's the education or whatever, but it produced some really fucking funny people.
Yeah.
That had gone down before me. Fahim Anwar,
Jeff Dye,
Adam Ray.
Adam, you know.
But these were guys I was like, okay, if they're going down, they're getting on television, then if I get down now, I got a shot. You know, like it's now or never. And then Louis
Anderson. I think that's a backhanded compliment.
No.
These guys are doing it.
Well, here's the thing. If it were just Jeff, then I'd be like, well, I'm fucked. I'm not 6'3".
Yeah.
You know, like an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
Yeah.
Not 6'3 and chiseled. But you, Adam Ray, as a fellow ugly motherfucker.
Sure.
Well, he knew that he'd come down like
and
that.
And I've explained this before. Here's the irony. I've walked into countless auditions since I've been down in L.A. And they always look at me. Oh, where are you from? I haven't seen your face around. I haven't seen your face. I'm from Seattle. Oh, do you know Adam Ray?
Wow.
You remind me of him.
Wow.
You remind me of him. All right, go ahead with your set. Yeah, great. It's like shit.
I think that helps, though. That's a good talking
point. But listen, you are the best talking point in Los Angeles. Because I go, I know Adam Ray. And they're like, he's a sweetheart, isn't he? He's a real sweetheart.
Wow,
like,
good to know my reputation is still intact.
Oh, it's intact all the way around.
Yeah.
You're the only person anybody's ever gone...
Seattle.
Adam Ray. No other one of the really big guys have come out of there. They're like, oh, just, you know, Joel McHale? You know, No.
Yeah.
Adam Ray. Wow. So you've been through the rooms.
He's wearing the Seattle flag proudly.
That's right. That's right.
You got to, we now have the same voiceover agent because of
that's right.
Well, because of your talents, but the intro helped to get the ball rolling
for sure. And then Louis Anderson came up and did a big show at the parlor.
Jackson Rappel.
Jeez.
He's like,
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
That sounds like the bartender.
I'm not quite sure.
Hey, you want a rum and coke? Welcome to Hooters and Watches. Sit right down there, you Sammy Sam. Yeah, you usual.
I gotta stop you, man. I'm getting really nervous for some reason.
So we did.
Yeah, you got your rapper. Oh,
if that voice ever.
That's Louis? That's
you got a perfect 5 o'clock shadow.
Oh, God. So.
So he came up and he did the Hyatt performing arts.
All right. He performed at the Hyatt.
And
no
he,
more.
And he told me that you can only go so long in being comfortable before you have to
move.
Be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to
take
a risk to get better.
Yeah. And that's what I did about 4.5 years ago. I've been
here. Yeah.
Four.
Fuck
four.
Yeah, man.
And then were you dating your now wife at the time?
I met my wife at Giggles. I was hosting for Jeff Dye.
Wait, at Giggles or Jiggles?
You did there.
Trying to figure it out.
at Giggles. She came
Giggles
to see
on stage. It's Catherine, everybody.
I'm going to marry that girl.
She came out to the Full House.
Come on the stage, too. Catherine on stage, too. Sprinkles. Come see the DJ booth. Sprinkles to the DJ booth.
Yeah, she's always in trouble.
Yeah.
Sprinkles always, like,
if they were going to the
late.
DJ booth, they'd immediately be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, she didn't take her top off in time.
Happy.
Like, it's supposed to like,
DJ
right
boot.
When Pour Some Sugar on Me hits.
Right.
That's when you reveal the who's it's and what's it's.
Not in the name of love.
No.
No, right.
DJ booth is like the principal office of the strip club.
Yeah,
everyone knows that.
And you could always hear the DJ break character, too. You know, he'd be like, oh, wasn't she great? That was Sapphire on the main stage. On the second stage, there's Whitney. Whitney on the second stage.
Yo, Keisha!
Amber to the DJ booth for administrative terms. Sapphire's finishing up there. 2-for-1 dances and t-shirts and double ones.
And t-shirts. Nice.
Oh, dude.
What strip club has t-shirts?
Oh, Arizona. You need to go.
Oh, I'm going to
like
the
t-shirt guns?
It's the t-shirt dance. Like
the t-shirt guns?
That'd be awesome.
If some girl came out in a top that had 2 t-shirt guns on the nipples and starts firing it out, she wins all
she
the
wins
money.
Your heart.
All the money.
Absolutely.
All the money. She wins all the money.
All the money.
Like it's a game show. She wins every case of cash.
So I was at Dye's. I was hosting for Dye, and when he was doing shows back then, there was like 300 women in the audience.
Yeah.
And so I was standing outside feeling dejected. And her sister came up to me and was like, hey, my sister thinks you're really cute. And I was like, who's your sister? You know, like, no one's going to like me.
Skeptical.
And I'd look over and she's like, that one. And my wife is 6 feet tall.
She's gorgeous.
And she's very pretty. And in heels, she's 6'3". So she stood above everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that girl likes me. And she's like, yeah, she does. I was like, ha ha.
And you were like, oh. By the way, that was Scooby, not Tim Taylor.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ruh-roh. Got it wrong.
So
I walked
across the room. Was it like deer in headlights look?
Yeah.
I
walked over and I'm like, holy shit, this is the hottest woman who's ever said, like, it. Expressed interest, and I already her sister.
Say that again.
You're assuming she made eyes at you, like
when you see. So you're saying when you first see a girl, you're usually just assuming that.
Yeah,
she's
you're like, I hope if I go up and talk to her that the eyes were for me and not the bartender.
Yeah,
you know. So in this case, I already knew that her sister said she liked me because I hosted and she saw me, and I was like, oh shit! Well, I've got confidence now.
Yeah,
and I walked up with confidence, and Lucas Seeley was popping his head out. He's like, Terry says you got to host the second show. And I was like, I'm going to blow it with this chick.
Yeah.
And so I got her number and I went back inside and Lucas had hosted, thank God.
Yeah.
And Terry's like, I don't give a shit. You never get numbers anyway. And I'm like, that's right. I don't.
You have nothing to lose yet.
Yeah.
And I called her. I texted her and MySpaced her immediately. Like I was all over like wet on rice.
Good, man.
Thanks, Tom.
Dude, and she was into it?
Well, here's the thing. Like I probably should not have done that. Like, probably should
not. Yeah, you got to play it cool a little bit.
Girls
like to be chased.
Right. But I...
They don't want to seem like you're too available.
Yeah, I didn't care. This was a blonde...
Isn't that stupid, too? Because it's like, yo, if you guys like each other, you should just, like... Yeah, if you're hungry... Like,
eat. I really came at it from this point. I was like, this is the exact girl I was thinking. If I have kids with this chick, those kids could be whatever they want because they're tall. You know, I was never tall.
Wait, what are you trying to say? Tall people get whatever they want?
Sports, Brad.
What are you trying to say?
Sports, Brad.
You say tall people, they got the world by string? Oh, yeah, thanks.
It's a long yo-yo string that goes 6 feet from the top.
I'm going to go down here and put a gun in my mouth.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, Yosemite, can I have one of those guns?
Put it in your mouth. I'll play some Nirvana while you do it.
I love how that's half him and half Foley from Tom. Oh, yeah. From Chris
and Harley. I am a motivational.
And I'm a motivational speaker. I knew right away. I was like, look, if I just go all out and she doesn't like this, then it's done anyway. But if I go all out and she likes this, then I'm set for life because she'll love me. And you know, so I really lucked out.
Where was the first date you took her on?
I took her
Cheese. No.
I took her to the Yarrow Bay Beach Grill in Kirkland, Washington, on the waterfront.
Oh, I mean, perfect.
There you go. You went big.
That sends a message.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had a convertible back then that my dad gave me.
Oh, my God. Jesse Katsopoulos.
I have white shirt with the rolled up sleeves. Oh, my the God. Long hair.
Perfect. There. Yeah, but then, hey, man, you got to set the tone.
Yeah. And she ordered a Cobb salad. I had fish and chips. We didn't eat it. Like, it just sat there. We just sat and talked to each other. And
dude,
I was
that's
like,
amazing.
It was crazy. And then the next date, she's like, well, I'm going to take you to the Solstice Festival, which is where people ride their bikes in what is it? What was the crazy part of Seattle? Not Queen Anne.
Fremont.
Fremont. They ride their bikes naked on Solstice. And so she took me to this, and I was like, wow.
That's awesome.
To participate or just
to just to look at naked people riding their bikes.
And right.
All right. And so she'd see if I get weirded out.
Butts and Taints right next to Who's It and What's It.
Butts and Taints. Butts and Taints. Butts and Taints actually playing at Sasquatch this year.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So she's like, let's go look at some bike ass.
Well, she's like, if he freaks out at this, then he's not for
you're right.
Right.
Yeah. Also, that's dropping a little hint of like, hey, when you see, like, even if it's on a bike and it's pedaling and not attractive, naked bodies gets that into your head.
Hey, sex.
Yes. Yeah.
Sex.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. You have to.
Exactly. And then we got done with that. And I was like, hey,
look at that bike ass.
The sex? You got done with the sex. I'm like,
oh, God.
And then I was
the smell of those bikes. Oh,
what if she's like, and I only do it on a unicycle?
Acting.
All right.
And then I took her to the, remember the Fun Forest back in Seattle? Do you remember the Fun Forest?
Do I?
I took her to the
Fun Forest.
I forgot. It sounds so creepy.
It's when you go down on a 300 pound woman from the 50s.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
The Fun Forest.
I mean, the Fun Forest sounds like the place where my people were born. Brad, what's your hometown? Well, the Fun Forest, obviously.
Fun Forest, Minnesota.
I think I do the Heimlich on that, right?
Oh,
Fun Forest, California.
Fun Forest.
Yo. No, it was like a mini golf. No pun intended. There was mini golf there.
Once again, where my people come from. And by the way, Adam, we
carnival games.
You guys lived in the windmill.
Yeah. And by the way, Adam, we just call that golf. All right. It's just
we just call that golf.
That's like
that's a good joke. That's a funny line, by the way.
There you go.
All right.
Over at the Fun Forest.
Fun Forest though had like laser tag and
roller coasters, little mini roller coasters, like carnival games.
Yeah, mini roller coasters once again.
Mini corn dogs.
Yeah.
Which I guess you
mini
call,
corn dogs feed four of
which
us.
I call, dogs.
Which I guess you call meatloaf.
Lunch.
All right. So. Let's get back on track here.
God, and centered.
So
and
that's
centered.
So funny.
Shit, that's so funny.
And centered.
Forest. So she's stuck with me. She's got a good job.
You're still in love.
Yeah, I'm still in
love.
You
guys are adorable. Every time I see you.
More and more. She's the fact that she recognized as a Red Robin server, you know, that someday I could make it was fucking incredible.
And dude, having being in this business and having a gal with you that A, digs what you're doing, supports it, and like, right. Oh God, it is so tough to find, man. That's why, I mean, you know, rest in peace, my last relationship, but, you know, she was all about it, but then there was enough that started to come out that was just like, you gotta go, when there's like, you gotta go do that show, it should be, you gotta go do that show, man, right. Because that's gonna help, like, right. You know, you can't have the resistance and the lack of support
if,
at all.
Yeah, if it's like, I'm gonna go hang out or something, she's like, really, can we just hang out tonight? But if I'm like,
and you do have to make that balance, right. You have to like, hey, tonight's date night, like, you have to find the...
There's always date nights and everything, and there, you know, but I've gotten, everybody in this room has gotten past the point where it's like, okay, you're past the 10,000 hours. Now it's, what shows do I want to do and what do I want to accomplish? Tonight there's new material or new ways of saying it I want to accomplish, and you come up with a game plan, and sometimes the game plan has to be, and tonight I'm showing my wife that I could do this, but I'm choosing to do something with you so you know that you match, you hit that level,
because
it otherwise it, understandably she knows that I've said this on podcasts before that If you get a fucking applause break at the end where you're supposed to get something or a standing ovation or something, it beats the hell out of sex.
Yeah.
An orgasm doesn't compare to 300 people, boom, on their feet to something you just done.
Yeah. Really? I mean,
it doesn't.
I had to stop and think for a second and really think if I could agree with that statement. But
I'll show it to you.
Quite honestly, hey, man, yes. Because also the feeling, I mean, yeah, it's...
Here's the proof.
What about getting a standing ovation after you orgasm?
After you orgasm?
I'm pretty sure if
from
that
a
was
room
done,
full of people.
Yeah, just room full of strangers. I'm pretty sure if you do that on stage, you'll get a standing ovation.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, will they be standing to applaud or will they be standing to
coming
get the fuck out of there? I don't know.
Yeah. What if you come when you get a standing ovation?
Can you imagine?
The
incentive for comics to just like get as good as possible.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't want that to happen because I don't want to destroy orgasms. They're fine as they are.
This has been Justin Rupple. I don't want to destroy orgasms.
That's your like Earth Day PSA. Hi, I'm Justin Rupple.
You know what's great?
It's a great Adam Ray, by the way. Adam Ray doing Justin Rupple. Yeah.
Justin Rupple. I'm trying not to destroy the orgasm. The orgasm is a valuable species out there in our world. And
alleged assailant.
We want to do everything in our power to save it. Isn't that right, Captain Planet?
That's right. Kooky Chris. I don't know. I just felt like I needed to add something right there.
I think you did. Justin, you're a fan of the podcast. You're a great comic. I'm glad you're down here.
I'm
glad you're making the rounds, because as a wise man once said, you just got to be here, man.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what?
It's actually on my tattoo.
It's not to quote G.I. Joe's, but like being here is half the battle.
Yeah.
But like, you know, but like being like, because I was telling you too, I remember saying like, you're going to have to start over in a sense. Like you have these relationships you've developed from Seattle that you can use, it, you know, and hopefully that people do come through, because there's a lot of times when people say stuff and then it's lip service and they don't back it up. And so utilizing that and being proactive and putting yourself out and being out at comedy clubs and immersing yourself in it enough so that you're not, because just coming down, I know people that have just come down here and then like gotten a job and then like gone a few shows a month and then be like, it's not happening, man, I'm moving back to Detroit. And it's like, well, cool, man, let me know when you come back and you actually want to take this seriously.
Sure. Right?
I have a friend from high school who moved down here for 4 months to try to be an actress, and then she moved back and checked. I was like, 4 months? Like,
4 months.
Would you like, that's like,
no.
That's like putting the tip in and being like, oh man, I had the greatest sex of my life last night. But, you know.
Or
saying it was terrible, I guess.
Yeah. I know that everybody hates the third Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, but that.
What?
A lot of people hated it.
I didn't hate it.
But I love the metaphor that he uses.
Who told you that they don't like the third Batman?
Oh, Jesus.
Who came out there and said that they don't like at the cappuccino shop and saw Bruce Wayne with the Catwoman?
Let me guess what the Catwoman's tits look like.
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah, please. What do they look like?
They were the size of tangerines.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, go on your Batman metaphor.
That he couldn't get out of the hole until he jumped without the rope.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't get out of the hole without until you jump without the
rope. You're right. That's a solid metaphor.
Yeah,
you're
right. Solid metaphor. And burn the ships at the harbor. There's no going back.
Yeah, and that's what I tell guys when they say, "Yeah, I've got this day job, and then I've got the comedy." I'm like, "Your comedy is going to improve so much when you quit the day job,
right?
When you when you don't have that safety net of like, oh, I can always do this job. This job will feed me. This job is going
to
pay the
rent." It also drives you. But you have to have a job. I know comics that don't have jobs because like I don't want anything to get away my comedy. I'm like, dude, you got to live a life to have one worth writing about. And like you being doing the Uber driving right now is great. And you got to give me, before we get out of here, one great Uber story. Some of the people you've met, because you're like taxi cab confessions.
For those of you who don't know what Uber is, first of all, get the app. Idiot.
First of all, if you go outside.
Yeah.
Like, you're clearly living in a cave.
Yeah. So, like, Uber is this app on your phone. You hit the button, and within 3 minutes, a car will pull up to wherever you are and say, where do you want
to
go?
Take me to Who's It's and What's It's.
Obviously.
The people who own their own car can use it as a ride-sharing program. So
right.
when they decide they got downtime, or if they want to make it a full-time job, they just turn on the app and pick up people.
Yep.
So, a lot of people ask, you know, so this isn't what you do full time. Like, what do you really do? And I tell them, you know, I'm a comic.
Yep.
And then they say something funny.
Like every person does.
Like everybody always does. No, I give them, I say I do celebrity impressions. And they're like, really? And then I just say, yeah, name one. And I use it as an opportunity to see if I can come up with one that I can't do.
How many do you have, by the way?
If you include cartoons, probably in the mid 60s.
That's awesome.
But that's cartoons included.
Okay.
So real people probably in mid 30s or 40s.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That you work on.
So then they say a name and you're like, wow, I haven't thought about an impression of that person yet.
Right.
And then you had kind of put on the spot.
Yeah. And sometimes you can get it. Sometimes you don't. But if I don't get it, I don't want to make them sad.
Sure.
So, but most people just get in the car and then I just, one person got in the car with three people, and they were from London. Like, mate, take me to St. Monica, and da da da. And then I told them I was a stand-up comic, and they started taping me in the back seat.
Huh?
They taped the whole thing and put it up on Uber's website.
No shit.
Yeah.
And so what happened with that?
It just got a whole bunch of hits, and they're like, "This is what happens when you take a ride with Vince Vaughn and Mark Wahlberg and." You know, President Obama and all that shit. You know.
That's incredible. I want to look that up.
It's on Uber's site. It's really
weird. You know what? Hey, Russell Peters, Bill Burr, Angela Johnson, one clip fucking turned things around. So who the fuck knows, dude?
Yeah, who knows, man?
We're going to end this podcast
by doing something.
No, we're good.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, but I'd say we did it with Sam, we did it with Whitney and Dane. When we go over an hour, it's because we're having a good time.
Yeah.
And so
you just put me in the hugest category I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
No one's ever said Whitney and Dane in the same. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, before we end here, where can people find you online?
You can find me Twitter, The Rupple, my last name, The Rupple.
Yep.
RUPPLE.
Mm-hmm. RUPPLE. JustinRupple.com is my website where my album Magic Moment is available.
Album and DVD.
Just the album.
So get that on JustinRupple.com.
Yep.
Tour dates on there.
Yep.
Twitter, Instagram. Yep. Do you do Instagram?
I do Instagram.
Okay.
They're all connected to
okay.
Justin
Rupple.
They're all the Rupple.
Perfect.
Yeah. The Rupple. There's a lot of Justins, so I just had to distinguish.
Yeah. this was awesome.
Yeah, it was
awesome. You were great.
This is a highlight for me, guys, because now I'll someday listen to my own episode in the car.
Fuck yeah.
Look at that.
Really impress somebody in the car. Like, oh, you don't believe I'm somebody? Do you know about last night? Which people have, motherfuckers.
Really?
Both of you guys.
Good.
I listen to podcasts. And I usually turn it down when I get in the car. And so that is what's up, that picture on the wall of the puppet and the chick sleeping.
Yeah.
And so it's up on my big phone when I get in the car, and they can see it. And they're like, oh, you listened to about last night?
No shit.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. They're like, yeah, listen to Adam Carolla. And you guys are in the trifecta. It's you, Holmes, and Carolla. Those are the podcasts.
Nice, man.
Yeah, the same way you were honored to be in the company of Whitney and Dane.
Sorry, Pete Holmes. Yeah. Pete Holmes here. You made it weird. Hey, everybody. Hey, weirdos. Weirdos, hi.
Wow, that's
great. Hi, it's the weirdos, and it's Pete Holmes here.
I was just about to ask you, what impression of person do you like out of your best? Is your best go-to? Because we're about to do something we did with Jonathan Kite from Two Broke Girls, where we prank called my favorite Thai restaurant. I give him so much business that I don't give a fuck that we're doing this. And Pete, Jonathan did it as Jeff Bridges.
Yep,
yeah, which is incredible.
Was really good.
So who do we? Vince, maybe? Who else? Vince?
I do the best TJ Miller impression in the world.
Wow, he's coming on. Wait, let me hear it first. I want to go bigger celebrity.
All right, bigger. Yeah. If you want to go bigger, I go bigger. But
TJ's incredible.
Excuse me. Here's the story, real quick. If I could just talk for a second and get my opinion across.
That is.
That
great,
would
TJ
be
Miller.
Really good if I could just get my opinion across quickly. story. I was out the other day, and I was having some pot, because I've had pot before, and I'm an adult male, and I can make my own decisions.
That's really good.
All right, let's do a bigger one, though.
Vince, or who else lives in that boat, that world? Like, what other guys? Like
Vince Vaughn.
I mean, Walken, we haven't had...
I haven't had someone do Walken for you. Let's see. Patrick Warburton's good.
Let's do that.
Oh, yeah,
from Family Guy.
From Family Guy, from Seinfeld.
Okay, here we go.
Do I just talk into the...
Yeah. Yep. Will they be able to hear it?
You have to hold it, right?
Yeah.
So hold it up to the mic, yeah. But hold it up to the mic so we can hear them, yeah.
Do I have to put on speakerphone?
Yeah.
Yeah, quick question. Yeah, I was ordering some Thai food. Is that what you guys have there, or is it Japanese? Listen. Just quick question. Don't have time for the BS. Number one, do you have pad thai?
Pad thai, yes.
Pad thai, good. You don't have any of that stupid shit in there like almonds or jelly beans or something like that. That's good. All right, number two. Do you have pot stickers?
Pardon? You?
Yeah.
Yes, have it.
Excellent. All right, number three. Do you have any of that Mexican Coca-Cola? I don't like cornstarch in my drinks. I would prefer sugar if you have sugar. Is that a possibility?
Okay, hold on 1 second, please.
All right. He's got to put me
up. When we come back, you're doing Stewie.
Come back to Stewie.
Wait, Quagmire, maybe?
I do Stewie.
Peter or Stewie?
Stewie.
Yeah, let's do Stewie when it comes back.
Dude, that's amazing. Patrick Warburton.
Well done.
Jelly beans in the back. Yeah,
hey, high five.
What, she have another cup?
Hello, you want to order food?
Oh, that's right. All right. So number one, pod thai. Combination pod thai with some of the rice and stick it off. All right, and number two, pot stickers. Do you have any pot stickers? That's really what I'm going for. I'm having a lot of people over. We're going to be reading some scripts and so forth. So, to recap, number one, pod thai. Number two, she's hung up the phone.
Out on the giggity.
That's the title of your next album, Justin Ruppel. Out on the giggity.
Out on the giggity.
Or a Blackstreet song.
Justin Ruppel.
No diggity, out on the giggity.
Nah, so you're taking it way back into time.
Oh, baby.
Justin Ruppel, yeah, thank you so much for coming by, buddy. Yeah, killing it on the podcast. Yeah.
Check out his Twitter, get his album, and be nice to him if he picks you up.
Yeah, please.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.